Hi, everybody, and welcome to Toro Sports Talks. I'm your host, Peter Toro. For today's episode, I'm going to be talking about Megan Gustafson for Athlete of the Year. She's an Iowa basketball player for the Hawkeyes, and she made it to the Elite Eight and for the program's first time in history. Megan Gustafson and the Hawkeyes lost to Baylor over the weekend in the Elite Eight, but she still had a great season, and without her, Iowa wouldn't have made it to where they did. For the topic of discussion today, I'm also going to do a preview of the women's Final Four and the games that are going to set up the Final Four in Tampa this weekend. The matchups are Baylor against Oregon, 1-2, Baylor being number one, Oregon number two, and UConn and Notre Dame. Notre Dame number one, UConn number two. So we're going to get right into it with Megan Gustafson for Athlete of the Year. Megan Gustafson was, in my opinion, the best basketball player on the women's side this year. She averaged a double-double with 27 points, over 27 points and over 13 rebounds a game. She shot 70% from the field overall the whole season. She's also a Naismith Award finalist and a first-team AP All-American. Megan Gustafson is 6'3". She plays center. She's a big for Iowa, but she doesn't she plays like a big in the sense that she does set up camp down low in the paint, and a lot of her shots are coming from within the paint. She takes high percentage shots, but she doesn't force it. She's not like some big players where she's just turning and shooting. She dishes the ball well, and she makes everybody on the court better. I think the biggest thing that helps Gustafson and the Hawkeyes on a whole is that they play real fast. They play high-paced offense, and they want to get the ball up and out to Gustafson high in transition. So when they're in that transition, they get her down the court fast, and it really helps them set up their defense also to get her back in position. She's also the first player in NCAA in over 20 years to shoot over 60% from the field and average 20 points a game. So while she is a big and she is getting a lot of layups, her ability and her footwork to get in those positions, I think, is really what sets her apart from a lot of women basketball players in college. There's a lot of great college basketball players out there and a lot of great women basketball players out there, but I think Megan Gustafson's game is so much different than a lot of those other players' games. If you look at the other first-team AP All-Americans and Naismith Award finalists, Gustafson is really the only true big in that group. Sabrina Ionescu, who I'm going to talk about in the preview for the Final Four of Oregon, she's probably the best raw shooter in women's college basketball, and she goes to the draft this year and gets drafted for the WNBA. I think she's going to be one of the better shooters in the WNBA just because that's how good she is. But again, her game, if you look at another player that we're going to talk about later in the preview, is Arike Ogunbowale for Notre Dame. She's another one who she's very fast-paced. She's not afraid to go into the lane, but she's a point guard, so she's going to try to cause chaos with how fast she is. There's not really another player like Gustafson who can go down low, set up down low, and have the offense run down through her, as well as making everyone is better from the floor. So while she is, she's shooting 70% from the field, but she's also able to open shots for other players on the team for the Hawkeyes, and that's something that really allowed the Hawkeyes to go as deep as they did. They were a number two seed this year. This is probably their best team that they've ever had in their program. Megan Gustafson is also one of the best, if not the best player to ever play there. So she's going to be a first round pick. She's right now projected to go number 12 in the first round. So for the WNBA draft coming up in April, I believe the draft is April 9th. So Megan Gustafson she just was able to put the team on her back, but also not really make it about her. She becomes only the fourth player to score 1,000 points in a single season in NCAA history. So that alone lets it speak for itself on her talent and her ability to shoot the ball as she does. Her work ethic, there are some great clips on YouTube as well as ESPNwomens.com on her practice before every game, of her going out to the hoop with three balls and just doing layups with three balls all at once, and it's pretty fun to watch. And it's amazing to see what she can do, and it's really exciting also to see how her game will translate into the WNBA and the coming time. But before then, you know, it's still college basketball right now, so it's fun to reflect on how good of a year she really had in becoming only the fourth player in NCAA to score over 1,000 points, and also the first player in 20 years to shoot over 60% and average 20 points a game in 20 years. So that's pretty amazing. And she's very deserving of all the accolades that she has, between the Naismith Award finalist and first team AP All-American. So for those reasons, I think Megan Gustafson is definitely in the conversation for Women's Athlete of the Year. Coming up next, we're going to do a Final Four preview for the women's side coming up right now. Alrighty, so for the women's Final Four coming up this weekend in Tampa, we got UConn and Notre Dame. This is one of the best rivalries in college sports. UConn is looking to win their second time this year over Notre Dame, and Notre Dame is looking to avenge one of their losses to UConn this year. So the big thing that's going to be for UConn is going to be stretching Notre Dame's defense from three. Against Louisville in the Elite Eight, UConn was able to hit 14 threes, and that really allowed to open up the defense and really give UConn a break defensively, because UConn plays with a hard five. Sometimes they'll play with six, but it's pretty much the starting five is the players that Coach Auriemma is confident and comfortable playing with game in and game out. So if they can have Katie Lou Samuelson shoot like she did, I believe she hit seven threes against Louisville, and the team hit 14. Megan Walker was huge down the stretch. She hit her first four threes in a row. So it took a lot of pressure off Nafisha Collier, who's also a first-team All-American for UConn. But if they're able to shoot as well as they did from three, as they did against Louisville, then they're going to be in good shape and put themselves in a real good position to win. By shooting from three, that's going to open up a lot of room down low and force Notre Dame to close out on their UConn shooters. And then it should allow, Nafisha Collier to go to town down low in the paint. So if they can get everyone involved from the get-go and really put pressure on Notre Dame, UConn's going to have a good chance to win. The game plan, I think, for Notre Dame going into the game is they have one of, if not the best scoring offense in college basketball. They're starting five. They're the only starting five in NCAA history to have scored over 10,000 points. So their entire everyone on the court for Notre Dame can score. The problem was last time against UConn, they didn't score. It was the second lowest total points they scored all year, with the 89-71 loss that came earlier in the year to UConn. The least amount of points they scored other than that was 65 to Miami earlier in the year. The key for Notre Dame is going to be the fast-paced transition offense. UConn likes playing at a fast pace, but not as fast as Notre Dame. Notre Dame loves pushing the ball up the court, getting the ball from their bigs, from Jessica Shepherd, and dishing it out and letting Arike Ogunbowale run. Arike Ogunbowale is, again, a first-team AP All-American and Naismith Award finalist. She loves pushing the ball. She loves, this competition. She loves, she thrives in the close situations. Just all you have to do is go back 2 years ago to this time when Notre Dame, this time last year, she hit the game-winning shot against Mississippi State to win the championship. So Arike Ogunbowale has been here. She hit a big shot against UConn to beat UConn. So she can do it all. She's not afraid of anything. Her, Jessica Shepherd, and Jackie Young are the big three for them. Jessica Shepherd is a big rebounder, and again, UConn has had their troubles rebounding the ball offensively and defensively. So if Notre Dame can control the rhythm and tempo of the game with Arike at point and then also get the ball down low to Shepherd as well as dominating the glass, they're going to be very tough to beat. But UConn's defense proved that they were able to keep them off the glass and also control Arike Ogunbowale. So it's just going to depend on, I think, who can find that rhythm and pace that they want to play at and who can control that for the longest time. For that game, my pick is UConn to come out on top again and to go to another championship game. For the other game, it's Baylor and Oregon, and I think this is the most exciting matchup that this tournament has seen so far, because you couldn't get two more different teams between Baylor and Oregon. Baylor is a very big and physical team that can rebound the heck out of the ball and play great defense. Oregon, they're not as big, but they can shoot the ball better than almost anyone in the country. So it's going to be a great game to watch. For Baylor, it's all about the bigs, Kalani Brown and Lauren Cox. They're the big dynamic duo. They're the second rebounding team in the country. They're the number one team rebounding in the tournament. So their defensive ability, the most points they gave up were 71 points in the entire year. Their opponents averaged just over 54 points, and they average over 82 points. So the biggest thing for Baylor is going to be getting the ball to Kalani Brown and Lauren Cox and allowing them to get comfortable down low in the paint and really controlling and bodying up Oregon. Oregon has a couple players that can contend with those guys in Kalani Brown and Lauren Cox, but the problem is getting them into foul trouble. If Oregon gets into foul trouble early, like many teams that play Baylor, you got to play them physical, but if you play them too physical and get in foul trouble, then you're just giving them the game, because they're going to be able to go to town in the paint and dish the ball out. They have a lot of good, fast point guards also on their team for Baylor that can really take control of the game, and before you know it, you're down by 20. So it will be exciting to see what Baylor does on offense. Kalani Brown and Lauren Cox are both two of the top players in the league and in the country, and they're both going to be top picks coming up in the WNBA draft. So it's really exciting to watch them play. As for Oregon, the team that they're facing off against, in my opinion, they've been the most fun team to watch in the entire tournament. They have the third best offense in the league and the best raw shooter in the league that I talked about in Sabrina Ionescu. She's put up a triple-double early in the tournament, and that was the most points ever scored in a March Madness game with a triple-double with 29 points. Oregon can just flat-out shoot, and they're not afraid to take some crazy shots. Oregon against Mississippi State, it didn't matter where they were pushing out to. Oregon was able to hit shots in their face when they needed it. So it's just crazy to watch them shoot threes. And it's the biggest gap in the game so far, in that Oregon loves shooting threes. Baylor doesn't shoot threes because they got Kalani Brown and Lauren Cox, so they don't need to. They just work the ball down low into the post. Oregon is the opposite. They got guys that just shoot the ball like crazy. This year they shot just over 41% from three, and that was number one in the country. The biggest thing for Oregon is going to be if they can get Sabrina Ionescu, the triple-double machine, and Satu Sobley and Ruthie Hebbard. Those are their two bigs for Oregon. If they can stay out of foul trouble, like I said earlier, and keep Baylor, make Baylor try to get the ball outside. If you can force Baylor to take some tough shots, even some tough twos, just don't let them work the ball down into the post to Kalani Brown and Lauren Cox, but you can't foul them. So Sobley and Hebbard both have had great games in the tournament. They're going to need big games from them defensively, and then let Sabrina Ionescu run the game. Her ability to shoot the ball, she's the best raw shooter, as I said earlier. But also, if they take care of the ball and take smart shots, they have the lowest turnover rate in the country. So if you let Ionescu take the ball, take care of the ball, and also if they stay out of foul trouble, that really puts Oregon in a good spot. And I haven't seen Oregon to the point yet where they haven't been a good shooting team. So if you can limit your turnovers, limit your mistakes, take good shots, and make good shots, I think Oregon's going to win that game against Baylor and be a huge upset. This is Oregon's first time in the Final Four, so it's new territory for them. Baylor, also first time for Kalani Brown being in the Final Four. The last couple of years, Baylor's been upset, you know, in the Elite Eight, Sweet 16. They've had heartbreaking losses, so they got a lot going for them too coming into this game. So both of them are in new territory in the Final Four in what the game could have. But at the end of the day, it's still a basketball game, and they both teams played to get here. So I that's the game that I'm most excited about. I'm going to take Oregon in the upset and have Oregon and UConn in the final for Sunday, and then I'll take UConn to win the championship. But we still got to play the Final Four games to get there. So that's going to be really exciting to watch this weekend, and I'm looking forward to these games coming up, and it's going to be a great time in Tampa for sure. Next time on Torres Sports Talks, I'm going to be talking about the United States women's national team. They've made a lot of news in the past couple weeks. Tomorrow on April 4th, they have a game against sixth-ranked Australia before the World Cup, and they also have a game against Belgium on the 7th of April. So those are going to be two games that I'm going to go over, as well as the new lawsuit that the women's team has filed against U.S. Soccer for their fight for equal pay. And I'm also going to be going in on Athlete of the Year from the U.S. Women's National Team. So thank you again so much for listening to Toro Sports Talks. I'm your host, Peter Toro, and thanks again for listening.